You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today is the Tuesday edition. This is a three-part program, if you will. In part one, I went over some of the events that led up to the debate this Sunday, specifically the surprise release on Friday of a video in which Donald Trump used language that, frankly, was inappropriate, and he subsequently apologized for that, and I went over that, and that information is, though, available as part of my show notes, so if you haven't seen it, you can either go to YouTube or go to my show notes and hear it. I didn't play it on the show because there's some offensive language, and it's been universally condemned, but you need to understand this was a private conversation that occurred 11 years ago, and surprise, surprise, the 2 days before the debate, this is released. Now, I speculated that probably the Clinton administration Operation Research somehow got a hold of this, and they waited and waited and thought the best time to do it is now, and that would throw Donald Trump off balance. Well, it certainly did to a certain extent, but I think he quickly recovered. I also went over the fact that just prior to the debate, he had a press conference, and he introduced some of the women, just four, that were sexually assaulted and rape by Bill Clinton. And the reason why this is relevant to the Hillary Clinton campaign, Hillary Clinton was instrumental in covering that scandal up. She was in charge of the Bimbo eruption unit of the when Clinton was running for president, and tried, and I think successfully tried, to intimidate women not to speak up. And the couple went on 60 Minutes and lied to the American people about a long affair that Bill Clinton had with Jennifer Flowers, and that I will post. I forgot to post it, but I will include that as well. So this is the third part. This is the second part of a three-part series. Today, I'm going to really go over the debate, play especially the first roughly 30 minutes, and give you my take. And keep in mind here that Donald Trump initially somewhat laid back. People have compared this to a boxing match where Muhammad Ali would let whoever he was fighting wear themselves out by hitting him first, and then after they tired, he would go on the attack. And many people have said that's what Donald Trump did, and Donald Trump is familiar with boxing matches, having attended many. I wanted to give you on part one what led up to the debate. Part two and three will focus strictly on the debate and what's happening post-debate and what we've seen, and I'm anticipating what I'll do probably Thursday, is the fact that big lie media, the television networks, the newspapers, are in a feeding frenzy. They see blood in the water, and they think this will take out Donald Trump. Well, I've heard that many, many times before, and the mistake that journalists make, including the television news, so-called news, I consider them largely propagandists. Most of them, I won't say all of them, are in the tank for the Democratic Party. They support the Democratic Party agenda and Hillary Clinton, just like they did President Obama Obama in 2008 and 2012. So I don't really pay much attention to them. And I think what you're seeing is a lot of groupthink. They're all talking to each another and saying the same words. And Donald Trump continues to have events where that they're well attended. Today he will be in Dallas raising funds. Texas is a good place. There's a lot of wealth, both in the banking and oil and gas industry. So he's going to be getting some campaign contributions. And the other part that's going on, I'll just allude to it more to a tease, is the Republican establishment, especially the leaders that get large contributions from the donor class, have largely broken with Donald Trump. The biggest spokesman here is Paul Ryan, which I think he has a terrible tin ear, because the American people are sick of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, in particular their leadership, and the fact that they're not paying attention to the people. And whenever you do that, that's dangerous. Now, Paul Ryan has a rather safe seat, but things do change quickly, and if he plans to run for president, which I think he's trying to set him up to do in either 2020 or 2024, I think he's going to have serious trouble, because a lot of Republicans don't like what Paul Ryan is doing. He better watch his step. Now let's, without further ado, play the introduction part, at least the first 30 minutes, of the second debate.
Thank you very much for being here. We're going to begin with a question from one of the members in our town hall. Each of you will have 2 minutes to respond to this question. Secretary Clinton, you won the coin toss, so you'll go first. Our first question comes from Patrice Brock. Patrice?
Thank you and good evening. The last presidential debate could have been rated as MA, mature audiences, per TV parental guidelines. Knowing that educators assign viewing the presidential debates as students' homework, do you feel you're modeling appropriate and positive behavior for today's youth?
Well, thank you. Are you a teacher? Yes, I think that that's a very good question, because I've heard from lots of teachers and parents about some of their concerns about some of the things that are being said and done in this campaign. And I think it is very important for us to make clear to our children that our country really is great because we're good. And we are going to respect one another, lift each other up. We are going to be looking for ways to celebrate our diversity. And we are going to try to reach out to every boy and girl, as well as every adult, to bring them in to working on behalf of our country. I have a very positive and optimistic view about what we can do together. That's why the slogan of my campaign is Stronger Together. Because I think if we work together, if we overcome the divisiveness that sometimes sets Americans against one another, and instead we make some big goals, and I've set forth some big goals, getting the economy to work for everyone, not just those at the top, making sure that we have the best education system from preschool through college and making it affordable, and so much else. If we set those goals and we go together to try to achieve them, there's nothing, in my opinion, that America can't do. So that's why I hope that we will come together in this campaign. Obviously, I'm hoping to earn your vote. I'm hoping to be elected in November. And I can promise you, I will work with every American. I want to be the president for all Americans, regardless of your political beliefs, where you come from, what you look like, your religion. I want us to heal our country and bring it together, because that's, I think, the best way for us to get the future that our children and our grandchildren deserve.
Couple of points. The woman never ceases to amaze me in terms of the hypocrisy. It was just a couple of weeks ago at a fundraiser that she called the majority of Trump supporters deplorables and gave a long list of why they're deplorables and called them irredeemable. That's tens of millions of Americans, and I'm sure many of them felt insulted. That is dividing this country into groups. She's starting out on a very positive note, but it's very much do what I say, not what I do. And they get away with this, politicians of both parties, because they tell you what you want to hear in a certain venue, in this case, a town hall debate. I don't call this a debate. This is just a series of questions. There's really very little debate. why what they're actually doing, and what her campaign is largely one of attack ads on Donald Trump, insulting, trying to demonize him. And for new listeners, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. The trouble with both of them, one's a Democrat, one's a Republican. Both parties are big government parties. And over the roughly 1890 to today, 125 years, going on 126 years, both parties have grown the size, the scope, and the role of the federal government to the point that the American people know we're going in the wrong direction, and they've had it. Poll after poll, they say it's the wrong direction. And this administration, which he was a part of, has resulted in probably the worst race relations climate that I've seen since the 60s. And it's been perpetuated by a president that jumps to conclusions. And it's really an assault on the police. When the problem is, in the black community, most of the crime is black-on-black crime. That's who's killing blacks, and it's law-abiding blacks in the community. By criminals, gangs, thugs. And the questionnaire was a black woman. So let's see what Donald Trump has to say.
Clinton, thank you. Mr. Trump, you have 2 minutes.
Well, I actually agree with that. I agree with everything she said. I began this campaign because I was so tired of seeing such foolish things happen to our country. This is a great country. This is a great land. I've gotten to know the people of the country over the last year and a half that I've been doing this as a politician. I cannot believe I'm saying that about myself, but I guess I have been a politician. And my whole concept was to make America great again. When I watch the deals being made, when I watch what's happening with some horrible things like Obamacare, where your health insurance and health care is going up by numbers that are astronomical, 68%, 59%, 71%. When I look at the Iran deal and how bad a deal it is for us, it's a one-sided transaction where we're giving back $150 billion to a terrorist state, really the number one terrorist state. We've made them a strong country from really a very weak country just 3 years ago. When I look at all of the things that I see and all of the potential that our country has, we have such tremendous potential, whether it's in business and trade where we're doing so badly. Last year, we had an almost $800 billion trade deficit. In other words, trading with other countries, we had an $800 billion deficit. It's hard to believe. Inconceivable. You say, who's making these deals? We're going to make great trade deals. We're going to have a strong border. We're going to bring back law and order. Just today, policeman was shot, two killed, and this is happening on a weekly basis. We have to bring back respect to law enforcement. At the same time, we have to take care of people on all sides. We need justice. But I want to do things that haven't been done, including fixing and making our inner cities better for the African American citizens that are so great, and for the Latinos, Mr. Hispanics. And I look forward to doing it. It's called Make America Great Again.
That was Donald Trump, his introductory comments, responding to a question from the audience. He established that he is the law and order candidate, and that's important because he's aiming for independents and white voters, just as Hillary Clinton is focusing on black and Hispanic voters. So there's a distinct difference, but you need to understand that there are more white voters in the United States than Hispanic and black put together, although the number of white voters has gone down, down, and down. That's an observation. That's not a racist comment. That's a simple fact that the Democratic Party, for really since FDR, has gone after certain groups, even though the Democratic Party, for most of its history, initially was a slaveholding party, then a segregationist party, and now, and this would surprise a lot of people, 90-95% of the black vote votes Democrat. And I think the reason is the poor education system. We spend more on education than any other country in the world, yet on tests given to students across the world, we do poorly. You would think we'd be number one and two. We're usually 15, 16, 17, 18. We have a failing K through 12 system, even though we spend over $10,000 per student per year. And that, I think, is one of the reasons that you have voters that simply don't turn out, because why should they? They care less about politics. About half the voters won't even turn out. I'm not turning out. I don't have a party. I don't have a candidate that I could vote for. And that's because for since the Civil War, two parties have dominated the political scene, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And what they've largely done is increase the role of government. And that's why more and more people have to have two jobs to just pay their taxes, even though the bottom 50% pay less than 3%. The big tax that everyone has to pay is payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, and now Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. Donald Trump is not a career politician. That is why both the leadership in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have not supported him. He's an outsider. And because of an outsider, many people that have given up on both parties are attracted to his candidacy. And there are many things that I can agree with him. He's a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. He says he's pro-life. I'm pro-life. But the biggest issue is getting control over borders, because the United States has been invaded over the last 15 to 20 years, about 3 million minimum, 3 million per year. And that adds up when you're talking 15 to 20 years. Have been either crossing the U.S.-Mexican border or been flying here on a visa legally and overstaying the visa. So what's happened is the labor force in the United States has dramatically increased, which means more competition for American citizens. The immigration laws have not been enforced. So Donald Trump is definitely the law and order candidate, and that does sharply distinguish him from both the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton, because they know that if they cannot get the black vote out in the numbers that came out for Barack Obama, the Democrats are going to lose. This race is very much white versus black. It shouldn't be, but that's what it's going to turn out to be. And that is divisive. Let's continue.
Thank you, Mr. Trump. The question from Patrice was about, are you both modeling positive and appropriate behaviors for today's youth? We received a lot of questions online, Mr. Trump, about the tape that was released on Friday, as you can imagine. You called what you said locker room banter. You described kissing women without consent, grabbing their genitals. That is sexual assault. You bragged that you have sexually assaulted women. Do you understand that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people. Certainly, I'm not proud of it. But this is locker room talk. You know, when we have a world where you have ISIS chopping off heads, where you have, and frankly, drowning people in steel cages, where you have wars and horrible, horrible sights all over, where you have so many bad things happening. This is like medieval times. We haven't seen anything like this, the carnage all over the world. And they look and they see. Can you imagine the people that are, frankly, doing so well against us with ISIS? And they look at our country and they see what's going on. Yes, I'm very embarrassed by it. I hate it. But it's locker room talk. And it's one of those things. I will knock the hell out of ISIS. We're going to defeat ISIS. ISIS happened a number of years ago in a vacuum that was left because of bad judgment. And I will tell you, I will take care of ISIS.
So, Mr. Trump,
we should get on to much more important things and much bigger things.
Just for the record, though, are you saying that what you said on that bus 11 years ago, that you did not actually kiss women without consent or grope women without consent?
I have great respect for women. Nobody has more respect for women than I do.
So for the record, you're saying you never did that?
I said things that, frankly, you hear these things I said. And I was embarrassed by it, but I have tremendous respect for women.
Have you ever done those things?
Women have respect for me.
And he is badgering Donald Trump. Now, he should be asking pointed questions, but immediately, I'm getting the impression, wait a minute, he gave you an answer, you don't like the answer, so you keep repeating the question. And Donald Trump knows it's a trap. That's why he's repeating his answer. You repeat the question, you repeat the answer, and eventually you move on. I'm pointing this out because notice what's happening. Just like in the previous debate, the moderator seems to be part of a tag team, in this case, two moderators and Hillary Clinton against Trump. And that's the impression that you will soon see.
And I will tell you, no, I have not. And I will tell you that I'm going to make our country safe. We're going to have borders in our country, which we don't have now. People are pouring into our country, and they're coming in from the Middle East and other places. We're going to make America safe again. We're going to make America great again, but we're going to make America safe again. And we're going to make America wealthy again, because if you don't do that, it sounds harsh to say, but we have to build up the wealth of our nation right now.
Couple of points. What is Trump doing here? And he's obviously been coached, probably by Roger Ailes and some other people. If you don't want to answer the question, you change the subject. You pivot, is the phrase used. And that's what he's doing. It's pivot. It's a rather odd pivot, going from personal behavior to terrorism in the Islamic State. But it's making a key point. The American people don't care about the comments that Donald Trump made on a bus 11 years ago when he was a private citizen appearing on a television show. But that's what big lie media is trying to do. They're on a side, and it's not Donald Trump's side. I'm not on either one's side, but I'm giving you my analysis here and commentary. The American people are concerned about their security, especially terrorist attacks. They're also concerned about immigration and the continuing invasion of this country, and that Hillary Clinton, and I think Donald Trump will raise this later, wants more and more refugees from the very areas that terrorism is taking place. I think it was a little bit too radical a shift, but I'm glad he's changing the subject, because this was the news cycle Saturday and Sunday, and now it's for the last 48 hours. And most Americans have seen it. Many in the press, I would say the vast majority, think this was going to end Donald Trump and that he was going to have to resign, and some Republicans are trying to push him. Donald Trump is not going to be pushed. He's not going to quit. Let's hear some more.
Nations are taking our jobs and they're taking our wealth.
Thank you, Mr. Trump.
That's what I want to talk about.
Secretary Clinton, do you want to respond?
Well, like everyone else, I've spent a lot of time thinking over the last 48 hours about what we heard and saw. You know, with prior Republican nominees for president, I disagreed with them on politics, policies, principles, but I never questioned their fitness to serve. Donald Trump is different. I said starting back in June that he was not fit to be president and commander-in-chief. And many Republicans and independents have said the same thing. What we all saw and heard on Friday was Donald talking about women, what he thinks about women, what he does to women. And he has said that the video doesn't represent who he is. But I think it's clear to anyone who heard it that it represents exactly who he is. Because we've seen this throughout the campaign. We have seen him insult women. We've seen him rate women on their appearance, ranking them from 1 to 10. We've seen him embarrass women on TV and on Twitter. We saw him after the first debate spend nearly a week denigrating a former Miss Universe in the harshest, most personal terms. So, yes, this is who Donald Trump is. But it's not only women, and it's not only this video that raises questions about his fitness to be our president, because he has also targeted immigrants, African Americans, Latinos, people with disabilities, POWs, Muslims, and so many others. So this is who Donald Trump is. And the question for us, the question our country must answer, is that this is not who we are. That's why, to go back to your question, I want to send a message, we all should, to every boy and girl, and indeed to the entire world, that America already is great, but we are great because we are good. And we will respect one another, and we will work with one another, and we will celebrate our diversity. These are very important values to me, because this is the America that I know and love. And I can pledge to you tonight that this is the America that I will serve if I'm so fortunate enough to become your president.
Sounds good, but you got to distinguish between words and actions. And I went over this in the last show, but I want to at least briefly touch upon it. Bill Clinton has a justified reputation for being a womanizer, and he's very aggressive at it. And when he was running for Attorney General of Arkansas, Governor of Arkansas, then President twice, the biggest fear that the Clinton campaign had is one or more of these women's stories would get out. So Hillary Clinton, with the assistance of several people on her campaign and law firms, intimidated these women. In other words, tried to shut them up. That's the real war on women. And that's why Donald Trump, I think, unnerved Hillary Clinton when he first had a press conference just before this debate and introduced four of those women. Now, I really don't care about Bill Clinton anymore. He's not president. What I care about is this woman is running for president and has a history of trying to cover up what would embarrass her, and really, had it come out and had they told the truth, Bill Clinton would never have gotten elected president and she would never be the candidate. And she continues to lie. Now, she got on to the qualifications to be a president. She compromised national security. Thousands of classified emails were found on her personal server. First, setting up a personal server and receiving and sending emails, attachments that have classified information, it doesn't matter whether it's marked or unmarked, is a crime. And then she compounded the crime because the House investigating Benghazi sent her a subpoena to get all the emails pertaining to Benghazi. And when they were under subpoena and a protection order, in other words, you shouldn't destroy it, what did Mrs. Clinton do? She destroyed the documents and lied about it. We're talking tens of thousands, over 33,000 documents, government documents. Just destroying a government document that's not your property is a crime. Many counts. Mishandling a classified information are crimes. And the extent that this server did not have security measures, foreign powers such as Russia, China, as well as our friends, according to former CIA deputy director, most likely broke into it and have that information. As far as I'm concerned, anyone that does this should never have a job in the federal government, and that would be the consequences of her actions, except she's being protected by the President of the United States and the Attorney General. So when she gets on her high horse and says Donald Trump is not qualified, the same applies to her. I don't want this woman president. And here's her problem. There have been tens of millions of Americans that have served in the armed forces, as well as in law enforcement, where they had to handle classified information. They know this was a crime. They know she did this server to cover up actions that she was engaged in. She wanted to avoid the Freedom of Information Act, and she wanted to avoid visibility into what she was doing in the State Department in conjunction with her family, the Clinton Foundation. That was her intent. That's why she set up this server. Instead of what virtually all government employees do, they use the email account assigned to them by the department they work for. She's a lawyer, and she's trying to avoid the law. Actually, she's a criminal that's being protected by another criminal. Let's continue.
And we want to get to some questions
from
online.
Well, am I allowed to respond to that? I assume I am.
Yes, you can respond to that.
It's just word.
Yes, he's entitled to respond, and she tried to move on. In other words, not give him a chance to respond. That's Martha Raddatz. That's what's going on here, folks. It's a tag team of three against one.
Words, folks. It's just words. Those words, I've been hearing them for many years. I heard them when they were running for the Senate in New York, where Hillary was going to bring back jobs to upstate New York, and she failed. I've heard them where Hillary is constantly talking about the inner cities of our country, which are a disaster, education-wise, job-wise, safety-wise, in every way possible. I'm going to help the African Americans. I'm going to help the Latinos, Hispanics. I am going to help the inner cities. She's done a terrible job for the African Americans. She wants their vote and she does nothing. And then she comes back 4 years later. We saw that firsthand when she was a United States Senator. She campaigned where the
Mr. Trump, I want to get to audience questions and online questions.
So she's allowed to do that, but I'm not allowed to respond.
You're going to get to respond right now.
That sounds fair.
This tape is generating intense interest. In just 48 hours, it's become the single most talked about story of the entire 2016 election on Facebook, with millions and millions of people discussing it on the social network. As we said a moment ago, we do want to bring in questions from voters around the country via social media. And our first stays on this topic. Jeff from Ohio asks on Facebook, Trump says the campaign has changed him. When did that happen? So, Mr. Trump, let me add to that. When you walked off that bus at age 59, were you a different man, or did that behavior continue until just recently? And you have 2 minutes.
Couple of points. What are the concerns of the American people? It's not a conversation 11 years ago that he should have apologized, did apologize to, but they keep going on about this. I would refer to a frenzy. They see blood, and they think that they can pursue it and pursue it and pursue it, they can take him out. Yes, I call it big lie media because they're largely propagandists for the Democratic Party.
As I told you, that was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I am a person who has great respect for people, for my family, for the people of this country, and certainly I'm not proud of it. But that was something that happened. If you look at Bill Clinton, far worse, minor words, and his was action. His was what he's done to women. There's never been anybody in the history of politics in this nation that's been so abusive to women. So you can say any way you want to say it, but Bill Clinton was abusive to women. Hillary Clinton attacked those same women and attacked them viciously. Four of them here tonight. One of the women, who is a wonderful woman, at 12 years old, was raped at 12. Her client, she represented, got him off, and she's seen laughing on two separate occasions, laughing at the girl who was raped. Kathy Shelton, that young woman, is here with us tonight. So don't tell me about words. I apologize for those words. But it is things that people say. But what President Clinton did, he was impeached. He lost his license to practice law. He had to pay an $850,000 fine to one of the women, Paula Jones, who's also here tonight. And I will tell you that when Hillary brings up a point like that, and she talks about words that I said 11 years ago, I think it's disgraceful, and I think she should be ashamed of herself, if you want.
I agree with Donald Trump, but I think the Clintons made a mistake. Why did they have their operatives in the Washington Post leak the story? They leaked the story, then the video came out. Why did they do that? Think of timing, 2 days before the debate. Because the Clintons don't want to talk about what Bill Clinton did and still does, and what Hillary does and trying to intimidate the women to cover it up. They really don't want to talk about that. And they're not happy that this is being talked about. But they brought it on themselves. But get back to my question, the timing here. Timing is very suspicious. Why? What's happening right now? It started, I believe, Thursday, and it's continuing right now. WikiLeaks released many, many emails of the campaign manager of Clinton's campaign, Podesta, and they are embarrassing. More than embarrassing. And that will be a subject of a show later this week. That's why they did this. They were desperate to change what? The narrative. What has CNN and the major television networks, what have they been going over and over this video? Have they been going over and over the WikiLeaks emails that were released? Not denied at all by the Clinton campaign. And we'll get into some of that in this debate. But Donald Trump's point is essentially right. There's a big difference in a lot of people's mind from talk versus actions or behaviors, especially behaviors that are crimes. And the war on women that was conducted by who? Not the Republican Party, but by Hillary Clinton. Let's continue.
Want to know the truth?
Can we please hold the applause? Secretary Clinton, you have 2 minutes.
Well, first, let me start by saying that so much of what he's just said is not right, but he gets to run his campaign any way he chooses. He gets to decide what he wants to talk about. Instead of answering people's questions, talking about our agenda, laying out the plans that we have that...
I'm going to interrupt here. Yes, he runs his campaign the way he wants, just as you do, but there is a difference. Donald Trump is given press conference after press conference. In other words, press availabilities where all journalists can ask questions many, many times, which is actually a very smart thing to do because you become better as you practice it at answering questions. Now, I think he's gotten a little bit too good at it because he's become good at deflecting questions. How many press conferences that Hillary Clinton have in the same time frame? The answer is very few. A couple, and many of them would challenge whether they were truly press conferences. So Donald Trump has been answering questions by the press, all the press, that you cannot say the same thing for Hillary Clinton. And that's her choice. Her campaign strategy is largely one of getting large campaign contributions and then running in the battleground states, a massive negative ad campaign trying to demonize Donald Trump. She's not discussing her record because she can't. It's one of failure. She was responsible for the Arab Spring and the invasion of Libya. And look what we have today. Chaos in Libya, Syria, and Iraq. She was Secretary of State. She was part of the Obama administration that kept drawing lines, red lines in the sand, trying to intimidate Assad to leave Syria. Well, he's still there. And now over 500,000 people have been killed in that civil war and over 10 million have fled the country. And now they're fleeing into Europe, partly because of the failed foreign policy of the Obama administration and this woman, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
We think can make a better life and a better country. That's his choice. When I hear something like that, I am reminded of what my friend Michelle Obama advised us all. When they go low, you go high. And look, if this were just about one video, maybe what he's saying tonight would be understandable. But everyone can draw their own conclusions at this point about whether or not the man in the video or the man on the stage respects women. But he never apologizes for anything to anyone. He never apologized to Mr. and Mrs. Khan, the Gold Star family, whose son, Captain Khan, died in the line of duty in Iraq. And Donald...
Quick point here. I think Donald Trump is going to say this. This woman, this as Senator of New York, voted for the authorization of force in Iraq. And that's where this soldier got killed. Donald Trump was against the war. Oh, initially, when he was a citizen, he was on a talk show and he was asked about it. He really hadn't thought about it. Later on, he made it very, very clear it was a bad idea. And I, in retrospect, agree it was a very bad idea of who? The George W. Bush administration. They totally destabilized the Middle East and Iraq. And now Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, has become a dominant force in the Middle East. They have large reserves of oil and natural gas, and they are heavily involved with the Iraq government because they're both Shia. And it's a religious civil war between the Shia, which are a minority in Islam, and the Sunni, which are the majority of Islam. And the Islamic State is Sunni. And they've been killing each other for centuries, decades, centuries. And by destabilizing an admittedly dictatorial regime and then pulling out so President Obama could say he got us out of Iraq, leaving a vacuum that ultimately led to the Islamic State, are the facts. And this woman is largely, as Secretary of State, responsible for the failed foreign policy of President Obama. And we've seen what's happened in Libya, Syria, Iraq. And this administration has given back $150 million. Oh, yes, they were Iranian money. They were under sanctions. And what do you think this is going to sponsor? It's going to sponsor more terrorism. And who supports the Assad regime in Syria? Who? Russia, China, Iran, and its proxies, Hezbollah, a terrorist organization. This is not leadership. This is a foreign policy disaster. There's no legacy here. And a key player in this disaster is Hillary Clinton.
Insulted and attacked them for weeks over their religion. He never apologized to the distinguished federal judge who was born in Indiana. But Donald said he couldn't be trusted to be a judge because his parents were, quote, Mexican. He never apologized to the reporter that he mimicked and mocked on national television and our children were watching. And he never apologized for the racist lie that President Obama was not born in the United States of America. He owes the president an apology. He owes our country.
Hillary Clinton uses this term racist lie about the birth certificate. Whose campaign made the birth certificate an issue? Hillary Clinton's campaign. Oh, I follow the campaign. I remembered it. An attorney, a Democratic operative in Philadelphia, brought the case ultimately to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court wasn't going to hear it. This lady is a liar and a phony, but she gets away with it. Why? Because most people don't follow this. Most people don't care anything about politics, and they certainly don't know anything about foreign affairs. That's just the reality, folks, and it's largely because of a failing educational system. Only a small percentage of the people are interested in politics, and they're not interested in any of this. Their concerns are jobs, the economy, Social Security, whether they'll get it, national security, terrorism. They're not interested in who should apologize to who. And again, I reiterate, I'm not voting for either one of these candidates. A long time ago, I said, are these the best candidates that we can come up with? And that's when there were another 15 or 16 Republicans in the race. So let's hear what Donald Trump has to say.
An apology. And he needs to take responsibility for his actions and his words.
Well, you owe the president an apology because, as you know very well, your campaign, Sidney Blumenthal, he's another real winner that you have. And he's the one that got this started along with your campaign manager. And they were on television just 2 weeks ago. She was saying exactly that. So you really owe him an apology. You're the one that sent the pictures around your campaign, sent the pictures around with President Obama in a certain garb. That was long before I was ever involved. So you actually owe an apology. And number two, Michelle Obama. I've gotten to see the commercials that they did on you. And I've gotten to see some of the most vicious commercials I've ever seen of Michelle Obama talking about you, Hillary. So you talk about friend, go back and take a look at those commercials. A race where you lost, fair and square, unlike the Bernie Sanders race where you won, but not fair and square, in my opinion. And all you have to do is take a look at WikiLeaks and just see what they said about Bernie Sanders and see what Deborah Wasserman Schultz had in mind, because Bernie Sanders, between superdelegates and Deborah Wasserman Schultz, he never had a chance. And I was so surprised to see him sign on with the devil. But when you talk about apology, I think the one that you should really be apologizing for, and the thing that you should be apologizing for, are the 33,000 emails that you deleted and that you acid washed. And then the two boxes of emails and other things last week that were taken from an office and are now missing. And I'll tell you what, I didn't think I'd say this, but I'm going to say it, and I hate to say it, but if I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation, because there has never been so many lies, so much deception. There has never been anything like it. And we're going to have a special prosecutor. When I speak, I go out and speak, the people of this country are furious. In my opinion, the people that have been long-term workers at the FBI are furious. There has never been anything like this where emails and you get a subpoena. You get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails. And then you acid wash them, or bleach them, as you would say, a very expensive process. So we're going to get a special prosecutor, and we're going to look into it, because you know what? People have been, their lives have been destroyed for doing one-fifth of what you've done, and it's a disgrace. And honestly, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Secretary Clinton. A couple of quick points. I got to wrap up the show. There's another show following me. This issue of not enforcing the law against Hillary Clinton for her crimes is getting a lot of Americans mad. No one should be above the law, and certainly not former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. When she was in that office, she committed many, many crimes. And only because she's being protected by the President of the United States, Barack Obama, and his Attorney General, Loretta Lynch. If she were anybody else, and Donald Trump is perfectly correct pointing this out, they would have thrown the book at her. She would have had her day in court and probably would spend decades in prison. That's how serious these crimes were. And I'm glad he's finally doing his homework and coming out swinging. And he's perfectly correct. She should be ashamed of it and should apologize. It wasn't a mistake, Mrs. Clinton. It was crime after crime after crime. And you were covering it up and you destroyed thousands of documents and you had thousands of classified documents on your server. She's a liar. She's a phony. And it's going to catch up to her. And I hope Donald Trump gets his chance to pick an independent prosecutor and they go after her. With that, I'll close the show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.